Good morning. It's Friday. It means it's time for the Failure Stop Breakdown here on the Failure Stop Podcast channel. Today, we're breaking down Chicago Police versus Dexter Reed. Why do the cops shoot nearly 100 times at this poor young basketball player, as the media would like to have it, over a traffic stop for something very minor, as also the media puts it? But let's leave out all the key points of the case, just like we talked about last week and the week before last. But listen, folks, don't buy into this. All the headlines, is this the next George Floyd? They want the next George Floyd. They have to have it. They need distrust in the police. And listen, there's a lot of cops out there that probably earn the distrust. I get that. But right now, you have to understand that it's a psyop to hate the police right this minute. And so, listen, we're going to break it all down. I'm going to bring you guys receipts, as they call it. I'm going to show you the propaganda train, how it's going. I'll show you what the cops did wrong. Look, I'm not just going to sit over here and take the cops' side and say they did everything right and all of these things. But again, I have to prove to you that this is yet another case where the media makes one part of the community look really well. Let me put it this way. The way the media spun this again makes a whole group of people look very dumb, because when reasonable people hear the entire facts, they go, Oh, well, these guys are idiots. These guys, I'm going to show you, and you're going to listen to what they say. And then you're going to be like, man, did nobody tell them? Did nobody explain to them the facts of this case before they let them get up and speak to the masses of Chicago on public TV? Did anybody bother to tell them the facts of this case before they went and talked like that? Because once you hear the facts of the case, you're like, yikes, I don't know. Look, today's show is brought to you by GhostBed.com/Wolfpack. We couldn't be here without our sponsors, GhostBed, big supporters of first responders. So head over to GhostBed.com. We also got FactorMeals.com/Wolfpack50 and the Wellness Company. May 2nd. Put it on your calendar. May 2nd. We'll be in Kissimmee for a live show after street cop training. We got a bunch of special guests. Conservative Anthony, 1.4 something million subscribers across the board. He's going to be there. Thiller Stapp's going to be there. The Anti-Hero podcast crew is going to be there. Trying to get Gilmardi on, who he's the FOP vice president. We've had him on the show before. I think he's going to come down there and make a quick visit in. It's going to be at Mulligan's from 5:30 to 10 p.m. right after street cop training, the big seminar down there. And then the live broadcast, the live show from the bar, will be at 8 p.m. If you want to come up for a few minutes on the microphone, that'll be the time to do it. But we're going to sit back, have some suds in a good old Irish bar with a whole bunch of law enforcement officers from around the country. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So put that on your calendar. May 2nd, Kissimmee, Florida, just outside of Orlando, will be there. But let's go ahead and jump into today's show. John, go ahead and hit that intro for me, bub.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
To end policing as we know it.
Off the charts violence in New York City. 11 people shot in just 8 hours on Sunday.
This is about the police officers who every single day put on that uniform, and they run towards danger when we run away from it.
Guns up, giddy up. This is a live show. It means it goes out onto the YouTubes. Even though 99% of our listenership is on audio, we do have a live aspect to the show. And I always love to give my love to the people who show up here at 11 o'clock a.m. on Fridays. Abby Ellsworth on Being a Police Officer podcast. Very good podcast. She's in the chat at Chi-Town 8072. Getting feisty in the chats today. Not sure I'm going to read that out loud, but Chi-Town 8072 says, "Oh God, I work." Let's see what somebody scrolled up. "Oh God, I work for Chicago. Skate Daddy, do us all proud. You've got it, brother. I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best." And I don't know why I assume Chi-Town is a guy. I just do. Could be a girl.
I just hope that 8072 is not a badge number. That would be bad.
Oh, that would be. That would be interesting. That guy, Ryan 89, that would be a fun badge number. There is a stark difference between misleading facts and straight up lying. I agree. I won't argue with you there. Folk around and find out. Good morning. Will Craig, Diesel Jack, or diesel. Yep. Diesel Tech. Bosco Autry up in here. Jared Balness. Hello, everyone from Canada. Good day, mate. Have another champ on the Bobby, won't you? So we appreciate you guys being on there.
Your fucking boomerangs. I'm so sick of it.
Yeah. They should have boomeranged old Dexter here. He'd probably still be alive. Listen, we do five shows a week on this Failure to Stop podcast network. We do society and culture news, everything going on in Hollywood and movies and everything on Monday nights with former police officer comedian J. Darryl White. Then we have True Crime on Tuesdays with Kindred, J. Rama, and John. We got political news, myself and Deadleg. Thursday, we have sports with you and Kiefer. And it was a big day for sports yesterday because the juice is gone. The juice is loose. Back to hell. Maybe a little rest in pieces. If you haven't heard, O.J. Simpson passed away.
They listened to my show yesterday. We broke that all down yesterday.
That's exactly what I just said, but you weren't listening. You were chatting with the chatsters. It was a big sports news yesterday. So you guys covered the OJ case. And if you guys haven't gone back and heard first responders takes on it, go listen to yesterday's show, sports show. And you guys can hear all about OJ Simpson's tragic. I don't know. I don't want to call it tragic.
He was murdered by cancer. Johnny Cochran will be representing cancer at the trial this summer.
You know, I never thought that I would feel anything other than like, I don't celebrate people's deaths. I'm not like, oh good, that person's finally dead. When Bin Laden died, I was like, yeah, good, that feels good. I feel a weird sense of pressure off of my chest for it, and which I didn't expect. And then now with OJ Simpson being gone, it's like as soon as they find out he was dead, I was like, good, oh gosh, the world's there's like more fresh air to breathe in. I feel like now if we can just get rid of Casey Anthony to some kind of cancer or plague, that would be great too. She's on my top three.
She deserves it more than he does, to be honest.
I mean, she's number two. I said OJ is number three on my top three shittiest people. I've had this list for a long time. You can see Casey Anthony behind me here, and then Bill Clinton above her. But my top three most evil people in the United States, according to me, would be the Clintons, Hillary and Bill, mainly for the boys on the tracks. But there are other crimes that that should be investigated, Benghazi and things like that. But mainly the boys on the tracks, to me, makes them the most evil. And then we have Casey Anthony, number two, most evil, that's still walking around. And then number three was O.J. Simpson. He's gone now. So, you know, my list is down to two. And these are most evil people that are still walking around that didn't get found guilty with anything. So good for them.
I don't know if he's in my top five.
Huh?
I don't know that he's in my top five.
OJ wasn't in your top five?
Nah, the guy was a hell of a running back.
I don't sports, so I don't know like how that works. Oh, but
he was great. That undoes at least one of the murders.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. I guess if you're a sports fan.
I'm just kidding.
But I mean, I guess because there's a lot of athletes that get away with some heinous shit. I mean, Ray Lewis got away with a double homicide.
Ray Lewis was definitely involved and may have directly stabbed at least one of those two guys. Though the worst part about that was is the Baltimore Ravens question mark may have been covering that up, so who knows? I don't know.
It was a great podcast episode. If you haven't listened to that one on the Failure to Stop podcast, it was I don't remember the title of it, but just type in Ray Lewis under Failure to Stop and you guys can listen to that whole episode where they in depth broke down the entire Ray Lewis case. And I think at the end of that there's a lot more questions and answers, and it doesn't make Ray Lewis look that great, no, in my opinion. So, oh well. Let's jump into today's case, which is the Chicago Police versus Dexter Reed. In my opinion, and I told you this was going to happen. I said 2024 was going to be crazy, yada yada yada. It's election season, but let me ask you this, John: why do you think that the media has to have in an election season, mainly on the Democrat side? We saw this with Michael Brown, then we got George Floyd, and now we have that. Like, why is it so important for there to be police distrust during an election season?
Well, first of all, the police are the face of the government, so I don't think it'll be as bad as 2020 when the government and Trump were being seen as synonymous. The main reason why we had to have George Floyd in 2020 was just because we had to, the left, the media and the politicians on the left had to call as much attention to as possible to what they saw as, you know, the Trump era. They were going to say, this is what Trump policing looks like. This is what happens when you don't have Barack Obama out there criticizing police. But also police are pretty much, by and large, except for the pockets of the deep unions, typically very, very, very conservative. And they're sort of the face of what the conservative side of it is. But if you want to know what the defunding the police era has always been about, it was a reaction to a Trump policy. Trump wanted to defund Planned Parenthood. So there was this whole movement before George Floyd about defunding Planned Parenthood. So then when you have this incident happen with George Floyd, The reaction from the left was well, you know, you're coming after our darlings and we're coming after yours. You're going to defund Planned Parenthood. We're going to defund the police. And that seemed preposterous at the time. Like, everybody wants to be protected by the police. I think we all think that we need police and we should deserve to be protected, if for nothing else, that we're paying for that protection. But then people started to take it seriously. And as things started getting out of control, they realized that, it, like any other kind of panic, they could use it to scare people and to control people. And just look at Derek Chauvin and look at the sentence he got. They didn't get a change of venue. They didn't sequester the jury. And so there was no chance that after the citizens on that jury saw police precincts being burned down, that they were going to do anything other than make him their sacrificial lamb. So I think the thing that's going to be majorly different this year is that the right person is in the Oval Office. So that's the only saving grace so far.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's see how it plans out. Chicago's still under heavy rule from the Democrats, and
it's a utopia there. They've been under liberal rule, gun control for 50 years or more, and it's just an absolute garden of liberal politics. It's a great place to live.
Great place. The Sunshine State, even, as they call it. Here we go. Let's start with, I mean, I have to make sure that I'm treading lightly, right? Because I don't want leftists to hear. I don't want anti-police people to get this far into the show and just think that I'm saying things without having evidence or receipts. Let me show you a couple of the pictures, and maybe this will just start the whole vibe off. This is what the media. These are the pictures that the media posted of Dexter Reed, who they call a child. He's 26. Does that shock you? If you're listening to this, that shocks you, let me know in the comments really quick. Because when I first heard about this, I was thinking the way the media put it out there, and I'm going to read you some headlines here. I thought this was like a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah, well, that the picture they show of him graduating from high school, you know, definitely paints him as being someone who literally is.
These are the pictures.
Yeah,
these are the pictures that the media put out there of this guy. I got these from the same news site. But then, as you start to deep dive this case, this is what Dexter really looks like.
Yeah, his mugshot there.
Wow, it's a completely different when you show exactly what the guy looks like. Now, you know, what is the point of the media? You know, when we had this 15-year-old girl who was shot, the case that we covered last week, the media showed pictures of the dad all tatted up, looking super white trash, and they were all mugshot pictures. But now you have this guy who's also a felon, and we show these like beautiful pictures of this kid. You know, with no tattoos and smiles and, you know, his hand on his pregnant girlfriend's belly, I just noticed. You know, but this is what the guy really looks like. Like, I mean, yeah. He looks like a crackhead. For those of you who are just listening, looks like your everyday crackhead. The hair's all disheveled. Looks like, you know, probably hasn't run a comb through that thing in a hot second. He hasn't shaved in a while. His eyes are all drooped shut, barely keep his eyes open. You know, a little bit of acne going on. You know, you know, all the signs of drug abuse, to be honest with you, in that picture. And then they don't even mention that he's, you know, that he's a, that he's a convicted felon or any of those things. So
never have had a gun. They'll, you know, all of Illinois.
You can't. If you're a felon, you can't have a gun. It's
Illinois gun control. All of the gun control in Illinois was designed to keep this guy from ever having this encounter with police. If he had been abiding by the law that day to just not have a gun, you know, for all the non-compliance and whatever else, you know, he wouldn't have been shooting at the police and they wouldn't have had a reason necessarily to shoot at him. So let's start with that. The fact that he should never have had a gun in his hand, according to liberal gun control.
AP News, deadly Chicago traffic stop where police fired 96 shots raises serious questions. With a picture of Mr. Reed in his graduation outfit, like we just showed you, Dexter Reed shot, killed by Chicago police after traffic stop. Again, this nice little picture of him at graduation with his hand on the belly. People Magazine, Dexter Reed, body camera footage shows 96 shots fired during traffic stop. CBS News, why did Dexter Reed traffic stop end in a violent shootout? You know, deadly, I mean, the list goes on. Head of Chicago Police over this from CBS. Head of Chicago Police Oversight Agency wants officer accountability. You know, like, and I mean, all these things are leading up. CNN, Chicago police shooting, 96 shots fired. All of it to be, again, with these beautiful pictures of this young man, many, many years, 10 years younger than the picture that we're seeing now. Like, they're showing pictures of him when he was like 16 and 17. He was killed at 26, and he looks completely different, and it's bonkers. I'm even going to go a step further. Let me show you. Well, I'll let you do it, John, since you're producing today. Show the video of Mom. Let's play the video of what Mom has to say before we watch the video.
Hello, everyone. Thanks Love for coming.
It's a nice touch.
I just miss my son. I'm hurt. I'm sick. I feel like I've been shot. My insides is burning up. Why they did that to my son? They didn't have to do him like that. I love my son. He's a good kid. He played basketball. He always had something to do every day. He wake me up in the morning and he fixed me food. He would show me how to cook his stuff. And he said to me, Mama, you eat something. And stuff like that. When I didn't feel good, he say exercise. He bought a Peloton bike for me to exercise. And he was a good kid. And why they did him like that, I just don't understand. What is wrong with the police? Why they doing all these kids, pulling them over with no, you know, for no reason. All these kids, illegal stops, they don't do nothing all the time. They just be outside trying to find their way. He had just bought his new car 3 days before that. And he was just riding around in his car. He said, Mom, go for a ride. And they killed him. They killed him.
So, I think we could all see through that. I mean, I have no doubt that she loves her son. I mean, she probably does. But I mean, like, come on, that was way over the top. They put the little hat on her. They had her go out there. And I say, you know, you really sell this. This is the moment we really need you to spark this moment so that we can have am I allowed to call it an insurrection, Eric? So that we can have our moment here in Chicago. They need the grieving mom to go out there and kick it all off. And to be honest, I think she overdid it a little bit.
I can read between the lines. I had an encounter with a female, a pretty viral encounter. Luckily, my name was left out of the case, you know, because it went so viral. And you'll hear about it in my book. In that case, and I didn't put this in my book, but the case, the mother was a terrible human being, probably one of the most horrific mothers I've ever met in my whole life. The mother actually said that, I'm not going to get all into it, but I mean, the mom told me that she had 3 hearing children and 1 deaf child. So she didn't feel the need to learn sign language because 1 child was deaf and the other 3 could hear. That's on her. The little girl, was being prostituted by this mom. I was able to prove that she was prostituting and it didn't go. The case didn't go anywhere. But I was able to prove it to myself. And he was just a bad mom. And after this incident, the mom was on the news and they put makeup on her. They put her in somebody else's living room and not the trap house that they were living in. And, you know, she was just talking about how she loves her daughter. And she actually talked about how she loved police after this incident and all these other things. But the mom is just an incredible piece of shit. So I can kind of see through this lady. You know, she's like, well, he was real good about waking me up. What good mother needs to be woken up by their child?
What are you being woken up from? And what do you mean, like, when you didn't feel good? He said, mommy, you need to eat something. Is it because, like, you don't have any appetite due to your other habits? I mean, I don't know how much I'm allowed to say on this show, Eric. I don't normally do.
You can say whatever you want, but I mean, I think if you read through the lines, she doesn't sound like a very good mom. She even talks about, like, he would share how to cook for her. So, like, you're good. You don't even know how to cook for your kid. You know, what kind of good mom
doesn't even know how to talk about motherhood unless it's about the ways that her son was taking care of her, which makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all. He was a good kid. He played basketball. What, 10 years ago he played basketball? We're still living in that moment 10 years ago when he used to play basketball.
That's all she knows about him. She doesn't know anything about how he got the COVID protection loan for his transportation business. You know, she can't talk about it being an entrepreneur and all this. You know why? It's because it doesn't match up to any of the pictures. She can't talk about, like, he wasn't doing nothing wrong. That time he committed the felony, sure, that was wrong. But, you know, this time wasn't wrong.
So
she can only talk about the stuff that's in the pictures, right? The stuff that they're going to be releasing.
Yeah, because it's probably the last time she saw him in real life. And by the way, it's not a new car either. It's a very shitty used car. You know, I'd love to know the details on how he acquired that. Not saying that he stole it, but I would just be interested in know how he acquired that vehicle, you know, with his credit and all those things. It would be interesting to find out what his payments plan was on a piece of shit like that she calls a new car. That was insensitive of me, but
it was insensitive. Some people don't have nice new cars. It was new to him, but the point is that it was.
Well, you know, I say it like that, John. Though I say it like that because I've worked in the inner city enough to know that this car more likely was either a rental or he came about it from nefarious means or activities to acquire the car. In my experience with guys like this, there's always a story of how they came about the car. You know, how they got this car for $500. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's always something more to the car. It's not just a new car that they're going for a drive-in. It's never that. Matter of fact, if it is a new car, it's oftentimes a rental.
Yeah.
And hood life is different. And I think to understand a case like this, you have to know hood life. And people don't want to talk about hood life because they think that might be insensitive. But, you know, if you're trying to look at the totality of something, you have to mention that hood life is extremely different. And until you accept that as truth and then try to change hood culture, we're going to keep seeing this stuff over and over again forever, like Chicago has, or like Southeast Raleigh has, or, Kansas City, bad parts of Kansas City or LA, you know, when you don't want to acknowledge that there is a particular culture that is completely different from any other culture. You don't see it in the Asian culture. You don't see it in Mexican culture. You don't see it in the Cuban culture, Puerto Rican culture. You don't see it anywhere else. You know, you go to a Latino, generally speaking, go to a Latino based illegal immigrant apartment complex, way cleaner than the government housing complex that's paid for by the government in the inner cities. It's different. And I think everybody should venture out into the inner city and pay attention to this very strange culture. Maybe it's systemic racism that got there. I don't know. I don't have the answers to all of our society and culture problems here. But I'm saying is you have to acknowledge first that there is an issue with inner city hood culture. It needs to be changed. And part of that culture is the cars that they roll around in, the window tint that they roll around in. You know, for a police officer, window tint sucks. You know, there's nothing more scary than rolling up on a car and having no idea what somebody's doing on the other side of it. Especially if you get on YouTube, you can watch videos of guys rolling around in tinted windows, pointing guns at other people as they pull up to them at stoplights. That's bizarre. That's crazy. you know, it's very weird. And, you know, in this case, you're in a bad part of town, you're in the inner city, and you as a police officer, a law enforcement officer, your whole goal in life is to stop violent crime. I didn't pull cars over on these projects because I wanted to mess with inner city people or hood people. No, I didn't start pulling cars over or get really aggressive until 5 shootings in the course of 48 hours occurs between 8 city blocks. You know, 5 shootings because one sect of gang was beefing with another sect of gang and they're driving around and shooting each other. And guess who's getting shot out of those 5 folks? Well, 3 of them are just bystanders in their homes, old people. And I had an old guy, I actually wrote about it in my book, an old guy that confronted me and said that, you know, he was born and raised on this street. And his house was the only house on the street that was heavily gang ridden street in this very hood part of town. And it was the only house that surrounded by shit. And his house was properly groomed. He had a car from like the 70s that was still in great shape that he kept under a carport. The old man would sit on his front porch with a collared shirt and slacks on real early in the morning, drinking his coffee, looking out at the shit town that he lives in. And one day I got an opportunity to talk to the guy and he invited me in the house and I was in my uniform. And I said, are you sure you want me to come inside? And he was like, oh, these kids ain't going to bother me. Come on in. And so I walked into his house and I asked him, I said, are you mafia or something? Like, what's your deal? How come? Are you some kind of a kingpin? Like, how is it that your house is unscathed? I worked several murders literally in your front yard and you sat on your porch swing, drinking your coffee, watching us, you know, how is it that you're unscathed from this? You know, he says he's grown up there and he's a pastor and they're not going to mess with him. And as I'd ask more questions, I said, how can we better serve your community, sir? And he says, oh, you can't. And he says, because these people have got you fooled. And I said, excuse me? And he says, they got you fooled. And I said, what are you talking about? And he says, when you're here, they're not here. When you cops are down here, they stop raping and they stop stabbing. But when you leave, they start stabbing and raping. Why do you leave? And I said, well, because we're not allowed to, quote unquote, wolf pack, which is why our show is called that's why you guys are called the Wolf Pack. We're not allowed to wolf pack. We're not allowed to put a bunch of officers and assets on one street anymore because of the optics. It doesn't look good. It looks like we're over policing the black communities. He says, they got you fooled. They got you fooled. They got you believing that. They got society believing that so they can keep doing the stabbings and the rapings, as he put it. They don't want you here because they want to do the stabbings and the rapings. And so when they go to these city council meetings, they got all y'all fooled. When you're here, they're not. But because you're not allowed to be here, they're here. Hood culture is something else. And I hope I talk about it enough in my book and in a entertaining and comedic way that also raises questions to people that might be anti-police. When we are hunting vehicles for simple traffic violations, let me let you in on a secret. Get ready to make a reel, John. Let me let you folks in on a secret. The majority of police, especially real street cops in the hood or in the inner city that are pulling you over for minor traffic violations, aren't giving you a ticket unless they need further stuff. Unless they think that you are from a gang and that you are going to create gang activity, they need to have you reported. Or they think that you might be on your way to do gang activity, or they have an active investigation on you. That's when we're pulling over people for minor traffic violations and talking to them. It's when you have put yourself into a position where you have information or you're part of an investigation. It doesn't happen outside of those areas where people aren't committing super violent crimes and they're career criminals like this young man, Dexter Reed. Dexter Reed was on a radar. And if these jump out squad, as they want to call it, and you're going to see the video with their hoodies on it, they were sure we could say that they were targeting Dexter because I'm sure he's on their radar. A white car driving around with tinted windows, doing donuts or flashing a firearm. You know, those are things that they're not going to put out to the media. Well, the media sure isn't going to dig for that information and put it out. The police aren't really the ones putting out any information. These are independent journalists that are collecting bits and pieces of reports because the cops aren't allowed to talk. Cops can't come out and say, hang on, guys. The reason why we were pulling Dexter Reed over is, yes, we caught him without a seatbelt violation, but also Dexter's been seen going in and out of this trap house several times a day. Like he's going through a McDonald's drive-through, and we want to see what's going on. We think that he's up to no good. And when I say obviously, and you want to fight and argue with me about that, how many times have you as a civilian gone like, I don't know about that house over there. People drive up and down. They pull in the driveway and they leave. I think they're selling drugs. You don't think the cops have that same intuition? Right. The whole neighborhood knows. Everybody knows. So I want to go in and put it out there that I'm sure that there's a lot more to it than just a young 16-year-old who's really 26-year-old black male was rolling through the ghetto with his seatbelt off. So let's stick him and get him a ticket. I am sure that there was a lot more leading up to that traffic stop than just this seatbelt violation. I'd be willing to bet that it probably had something to do with him flashing a firearm. You know why? Because guys like Dexter Reed can't roll around the hood just driving around with a firearm without showing everybody. Get on your police scanner in the inner city and see how many calls of somebody flashing a firearm is. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about inner city young gang member guys that need to show their crime off. I conceal carry all the time. Nobody knows. I do it everywhere all the time. Nobody's ever brought up my firearm or said, hey, you got a gun on you?
It's not part of your culture, Eric. You're not getting on your MySpace page and flashing a big fan of money with your big-breasted ladies behind you and your two guns. That is exactly what their culture is, and it's not the same as yours. As right. much as you like the big-breasted ladies and the big fan of cash, you're not posting it, right? All right, that field.
Yeah. And that's why I said that, like, inner city culture, and this isn't a hit on racism or race or anything like that, but there is a culture that needs to be fixed.
It's the subculture of lawlessness and violence. That's what I'm calling out. So anybody that has a problem with what I just said, it's anybody that likes that gang life. I don't care what color your skin is. If that's what you value in life, rather than your kids or your family or doing a job, that's what I'm criticizing. Do you mind if I read from the Chicago Daily Wire real quick to just kind of talk about
this? Oh, I would love for you to. I'll take a sip of my coffee while you do it.
You take a break. So this is Chicago City Wire. This is going to talk a little bit about his background and also just a little bit about what he was up to, because I think we need to know that, because we know that he played basketball. So we know that. So Dexter Reed, the felon, killed after he shot at police. So that's important. That should be like the headline over everything. The felon that shot at police. He received over $20,000 in what is it called? The Paycheck Protection Program, which was the COVID loans, I think, for all the people who were put out of work by COVID for his, quote, transportation business. Dexter
Reed, by the way, I don't want to interrupt you, but on that PPP loan thing, they were begging people to take that loan.
Well, that's interesting that they were begging people to take it, because there's some potential fraud there. Dexter Reed, the felon who shot at Chicago police and returned fire, received over $20,000 in this loan in February of 2021, according to U.S. Business Administration data. So he received this money. He received $20,000 of taxpayer funds. Reed categorized his business as all other support activities for transportation. So what does that mean? He's an Uber driver? Something like that, right? Can't get people to get into Uber because of COVID. His lender was a bank out of New York, according to Chicago police records. Oh, they've got records of him. I guess they've had prior contact and they know who he is. He was arrested on July 13th, 2023. So just last summer, two blocks from the United Center, and charged with felony aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. So that's his felony, was already a gun charge, that it was aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. So he does love his guns. Reed was also arrested in 2023 in April and charged with retail theft from a Zara clothing store. So he doesn't have much compunction about taking things that don't belong to him. He also, Reed shot at police. This was the case that we're covering. After he shot at a police officer and wounded him, four officers returned fire, killing him. Yeah, I played basketball for Westinghouse High School, Morton College. So here's the interesting part about that. Chicago City Wire analysis found that over 6,000 West Garfield Park residents received this loan, totaling over $120 million in 2021, averaging around 19,000. So he got a little above average. Businesses in this neighborhood on the south side received $187.7 million in government loans. The neighborhood received 13 times more money loans than it had licensed businesses. I'm not saying that Dexter Reed committed fraud. I'm just saying there's a fuck ton of fraud going on in that neighborhood, and a lot of people are taking government funds that don't necessarily need it. And the guy's a felon. So you want to make him out to be like your son, you know, like Barack Obama famously said of Trayvon Martin, you know, he could be my son or whatever. They want him to seem like he's your son. This guy's not your son. This guy's a felon. This guy's not playing basketball anymore. And this guy's potentially, and I'm not, you know, I don't know, I don't have any evidence, but potentially committing fraud against the U.S. government to receive government funds. There you go. That's the guy.
That's how the hood culture works. They when something works, it spreads like wildfire. We saw that in the Daniel Holtzclaw case. It's exactly what I was trying to explain in episode number one of that three-episode series of the Daniel Holtzclaw case, when I was trying to explain how the hood works. If they are like, hey, we need a bunch of women to come forward on this, the hood's going to band together and do that. If it's against authority of any kind, they're going to do it. If there's a way to get up on somebody, if there's a way to sell Lucy cigarettes or do anything to defraud, they are going to come together. And so when there's rumor of this PPP loan, which it really felt weird, like the government, like I felt like the whole time, as a small business owner, that like I was questionable. Like, why do you want to give me this money so bad? Like, why are you begging me to take money from the government? Like, you know, what's the government's objective here? Begging? Like, literally texting you, hey, PPP loan, PPP loan, da 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 da. Emails, go apply now. You're, you know, and it's just so much. So I can just see this neighborhood all being like, hey man, all you got to do is tell them you have a business and get you a LLC, and then you can get this loan. You know, it's an easy trap to fall into, especially if you are ignorant and around surrounded by other ignorant folks. You know, it's easy to fall into these kind of traps as he did. And when I say ignorant folks, these are the kind of guys he was surrounded with. Play this next clip. Listen to this moron.
America! America!
Wait, stop it. Stop real quick.
America!
Stop. Before we hear this moron, and you're going to want to hear it. It's great. And then we're going to play the whole body camera footage of this entire case. Today's show is brought to you by GhostBed.com/Wolfpack. Sleep so good, it's scary. Listen, being on the road May 2nd in Kissimmee, Florida, I'm bringing my GhostBed pillow down with me. I don't travel anywhere without my GhostBed pillow. So even if you can't afford a whole GhostBed mattress, which these are mattresses made in the good old USA, I've been to their facility. It's an amazing place. It's so cool. I've never met anybody more obsessed with beds than these guys at GhostBed. And they absolutely love first responders and veterans, which is so cool. So head over to GhostBed.com/Wolfpack and you can literally get you these beds. They have the cooling technology, the zero gravity, the massage modes, the adjustable base, all of the things. I love my GhostBed. I wouldn't sleep on anything else. Head over to GhostBed.com. Right now, it's site-wide 50% off. And again, if you're a first responder, support a first responder, when we talk to them, they wanted to have a code for like a way for cops to get the 50% off, or firefighters or any first responder. But then they were like, look, it's too difficult to figure out who's who and make them prove it. If they listen to your show, they're fans of law enforcement. That's enough for us. We'll give them site-wide 50% off. Go to GhostBed.com. Use the promo. Listen, they've been with us for like 4 years, guys. So I need you to support this company. They run the whole show. They pay John, they pay me, they pay Josh, they pay Tyler, they pay all of us. So that's why I don't have to ask you guys for money in Super Chats, but now you can just drop the Super Chat. Thank you so much. But I don't have to do that because we're taken care of by GhostBed. So make sure you guys are taking care of them. They make great guests, gifts. It is literally the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. Go to GhostBed.com/Wolfpack. Now, check this out. We Defy Foundation. It's a jiu-jitsu foundation to get disabled veterans on the mats doing jiu-jitsu. It's fully paid for. They cover their gis, their fighting shorts, all of the things, and their subscription to go and train Brazilian jiu-jitsu. We Defy Foundation is doing a fundraiser. It's a nationwide nonprofit. They're doing a fundraiser at my gym in Raleigh. Not my personal gym. I don't own it. It's the gym is called Gracie Raleigh. I just attend training at this gym, or something that I would like to think is me training Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I attempt to do jiu-jitsu at this gym. How about that? And it's an open mat. Now, check this out. They made a deal with me at the gym. They said, Eric, let's do this. on your podcast, promote it. $20 donation to We Defy Foundation. You could super chat it and just write We Defy, and I'll add that up. For every $20 that is donated, I will roll for 1 minute without a break. So if we raise, if let's say 50 people donate $20, I roll for 20 minutes straight with no breaks. So I'm just like, a dude taps me, another guy comes in. Even if I have to go for like an hour, which will absolutely kill me, the whole thing is going to be videoed. Mike the Cop might get involved with this as well. So waiting to hear back from him. But there's going to be a lot of guys involved in this, all trying to get down to beat my ass. Maybe like Nick Palmisano, maybe a Mike the Cop. I'll have more information on it. It's at the end of May. So we have like a whole month. So if you want to do that, all you got to do is write 20, just put a $20 super chat in and write We Defy Foundation in the next month or so. And I'm going to keep a tally of those, and I'm going to roll for 1 minute for every $20 earned to raise money for We Defy. So find it in your hearts. It's a very, listen, it's getting people back on their feet, getting wounded veterans and disabled veterans back in the gym and giving them a purpose. So if you guys want to be a part of that, throw up the 20 bones. It's not that much. It's going to an amazing cause. So, but you have to write $20 and just write We Defy Foundation. And John and I on all the shows will make a list. We'll go through it all. And this whole thing will be videoed, and it's going to be great. So, all right, two more ad reads really fast. We got the wellness company hitting you up with all your med goods, your ivermectins, your Z-Packs, your monoclonal antibodies, getting you prepared for an upcoming pandemic. If there is one, if you're going on a trip, they got these survival packages. Look, if you're a prepper, this is the best way to go. All the zombies, all the meth heads and the crackheads, they're going to be raiding the Walgreens, the CVSs, the Edgar drug stores, the Albertsons, if that tells you how old I am. You're not going to want to be there. Have your meds prescribed and sent right to you. These are the doctors that you saw on Joe Rogan. So you've got McCullough, you got Drew, you got all these other big doctors that you know them. And so they have put together this wellness company, and they pre-prescribe you these meds, kind of like a Teladoc sitch. And that way you can get your ivermectins and your monoclonal antibodies and your Z-Packs and your flu medications and your malaria pills and all the things to keep you prepped and prepared for whatever might happen in this crazy election season. Factormeals.com, meal planning to the next level. Last one. Listen, you know how I got all fit, thick, swole, looking good? It's because I changed my diet, baby. Factor Meals does all my meal planning. I don't have to go to the grocery store, plan out my meals for the week, come home, cook each individual thing, find my Pyrex dishes, put different lids on things, put it in the refrigerator, I go to factormeals.com/wolfpack50, and you can start your meal planning. Hundreds of menu items, chef prepared, fresh and never frozen meals delivered right to your door. They've got this cool like cooling technology. They usually send you some coupons. Package great. You can put it in a 2 minute microwave, even if it's one of those like peasant microwaves in your first responder firehouse or your EMT shed, whatever you call it. Those piece of shit microwaves will heat these things all the way through in 2 minutes. They are fantastic meals. They look good. They taste good. They're super healthy. Do calorie conscious, protein heavy, get jacked. You can do vegetarian, vegan. They have the breakfast shakes. They got all the things. Look at John. Look how swole he is. God, those things are massive. He's trying out for the Dallas Cowboys very soon. It's going to be a walk-on. Okay, let's get on to this knucklehead moron. This is who Dexter Reed and his mother surround themselves with and why they make stupid mistakes. And here, this is one other thing I want you to think about. This is where I said at the beginning of the show, this is why a certain demographic of human being is just being embarrassed over and over and over again by the media. It kind of worked with Breonna Taylor, but now I think a lot more people see through it and are like, God, the media really fucked up. I don't think the media is going to make that big of a mistake again, but there's still, I don't know, is it gaslighting? Is that the right word? Why would you allow this guy a platform knowing that he's a moron, knowing that he is borderline mentally?
It doesn't matter how stupid he is. It appeals to them though. This is their cry. This is their cry to the media, their cry to the world. They're talking to their audience here. This is a direct appeal. It's the same way that you talk to cops. This is the guy that's talking to the people that they're trying to activate. I'm going to throw it on the screen, Eric.
Go ahead. How come y'all hate us so much? Enough. There's no more need for investigations. The video clearly shows
They shot the man on the ground. They jumping out gang banging with hoodies, with hoods on. America, America, America. How come y'all hate us so much? We doing everything y'all told us to do. Put your hands up. Don't resist. Don't talk back. And now y'all even shooting us in the mouth. I'm James Gibson on the land, man. There's no more need for any more investigations. We want arrests, and we want arrests now. They shot that man down in the streets.
Literally said his name twice. And also, here's a fun fact for you. Here's what I bring to the show. That is literally what inmates act like all the time. Eric, are you muted? You're muted, bud.
All the time. That's what you hear. And we heard from the mom, right? Wasn't doing anything wrong. We got to stop. These polices has got to stop. Polices have got to stop. These kids aren't doing anything wrong. By the way, not they're not kids. He's just stopping the kids' shenanigans. He's a 26-year-old felon.
He's a grown-ass man, as we used to say when I was 26.
Yeah. Let's watch what happened that day. Play the body camera footage.
Let's figure out what the fuck we're all talking about. Let's see how bad it is, according to James Gibson, endless self-promoter.
Roll the windows down.
Put the window down, man.
Roll the window down. What are you doing?
Roll this one down.
Roll that one down, too. Hey, don't roll the window up. Do not roll the window up. Unlock the doors now. Unlock the doors now. Unlock the doors now. Open the door now. Open the door now. Open the door now. I'm 6-4 David. Shots fired. Shots fired. Shots fired! Fernandon Avers! Fernandon Avers! 10-1! 10-1!
Officers hit.
He's right here. He's good. Hands. Hey, I'm moving in. Hey, who's got me? Who's got me? Dude, don't fucking move. Don't fucking move. Fuck. Don't move. Don't move. Hey, don't move. Hold on.
So, by the way, what's going on right now is a lot of repetitive repetition. That's because the mind is working faster than the mouth can keep up. She doesn't really know what to say or what to do. There's a lot of blood. I can tell this because she's saying fuck, 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 fuck. She has no way to slow this down in her brain to try to think of something to do. And so what happens is you feel like your mouth just keeps running. So you keep saying, don't move over and over again. A lot of people ask questions. Why do they keep, it's repetitive. It's what happens when the adrenaline just consumes you. And why is she talking the way she does? Well, she's deaf now because everybody's shooting around her. So it's very weird to talk once that ear pops like that. It can be very difficult to talk, that much shooting going on. Plus your buddy just got shot. There's a lot of adrenaline going on here and you don't really know what to do. And your brain just kind of keeps squeezing the trigger. That's another one of the reasons that's one thing that nobody's talking about in this case, why they had to shoot him 96 times. A lot of these guys are just pulling the trigger because that's what their body is making them do. That's what they've trained to do. When they got shot, they're not really able to kind of think through this as clearly as one was because they don't have a lot of experience with it. Somebody else mentioned using the jump out boys to pull over for a seatbelt violation. Well, sure, that's what the media would like you to think. But like I said earlier in the show, if the jump out boys are behind you, They're not pulling you over because they want to write seatbelt quota tickets. They're behind you because they've ran your plate and they know who you are and they know you're up to some shit, or they've already got an active investigation and they need a reason to pull you over and you just happen to be rolling through with your seatbelt down. Also, if you're in an undercover car and he's speeding, it's a lot easier to articulate a seatbelt violation than it is to articulate speeding, because maybe you don't have your radar on, right? How many times have you been in your own neighborhood and a car has flown by your house and you've gone like, damn, motherfucker, why don't you slow down? You knew that person was speeding. You didn't have a radar. You don't have any kind of crazy police training. You could just tell. Well, in the courts, you can't just say that. You know, it often doesn't work, especially if you're a cop. You'd be like, well, you know, like in your neighborhood, when somebody drives by and you're just like, that was way too fast for this neighborhood. You know, that doesn't hold up in court. But you know what does hold up in court? It doesn't matter that he was speeding. He didn't have a seatbelt on. So I pulled him over for no seatbelt. So my point here is that when we pull a car over for a seatbelt violation, nobody gives a fuck about your seatbelt. Like, we could care less if you get in a wreck and fly through your, now maybe there are some dickhead cops that have a quota in their own brain, or they think that giving tickets somehow solidifies that they did a good day's work or something like that. But if you're on a jump out squad like that, and by the way, if you came by and you're like, we wrote 5 seatbelt tickets, you would get kicked off of that squad, because they'd be like, bitch, we're not paying you guys to go find seatbelt violations. We're paying you to get guns off the street and stop these massive amounts of shootings that are going on in Chicago, the south side of Chicago. Am I right?
I don't even know what to say. I don't know why anyone can look at this video and say that they, you know, that they're complying and that we're shooting people in there. I counted at least 13 or 14 commands from multiple people to unlock, to not roll up the window, to roll down the window and unlock the door. And look, you know, Eric, you've talked to before about, you know, the way people react. They look like they're going to run, the way that those pre-violence indicators. This guy's doing all of these things in a car. It's not even subjective. You know it's about to happen. And that's why the police officers are escalating that whole time, because he's not complying. I wish we could show these videos instead of having James Gibson saying, like, America, America. Why are you killing our felonious children? I wish we could take this video and just have it play itself and have people say, like, this is why you fucking comply. Because, you know, for him, you know, being shot down the street, we also have Ella French, a Chicago police officer who was shot by, you know, thugs on her beat. We have police officers getting killed. And if it comes down to you versus me, Eric, you famously said that if you're going to make the decision, if it's you versus me, who's going home today, who wins? It's going to be the police. So show this video to everybody in your neighborhood, everybody who's taking money on those loans, and show them, like, look, if it's you versus the police are going to choose themselves. It's not that they hate you. It's that they want to go home to their family. It's not about hating people of a certain lifestyle or a certain color. It's that guns are in the mix and we're not getting compliance. We're getting people who are arguing and fighting with the police. And this is how it's going to turn out. Unfortunately, we play these videos, and because of the way our society and our culture is totally geared, it's what did the police do wrong first? There's never, ever, ever any thought as to how this kid wound up in this situation. And when we do think about it, it's like, oh, his mama said he was going out for a drive, which we know is not what was happening. Why are we automatically geared towards how did the police fuck this up this time? We ought to be thinking, why were the police involved in this situation? Because the police, you know, generally need a reason to be involved with somebody. They've got to have reasonable suspicion of a crime. They're not just going around picking on people. Believe me, they want to be just in their cars eating donuts and shit. Unfortunately, they get called to the scene. They have to intervene in crime. Chicago's a terrible place. They have to go out there and do their job. They're getting invited to these parties, and this is what happens. It just frustrates me, Eric.
Being a cop is too easy that we need to go and find somebody doing something wrong. And what I mean by that is, listen to a police scanner in the 911 calls. I'm willing to bet that this started out as this guy flashing that gun around. He either put it on social media, he put it on Snappy Chatties. I mean, this is how these things always start. And when you have a jump out squad that's trying to get guns and violent felons off of the road with guns, this is the way to get them. These guys commit so many crimes and get away with it. I mean, I can't even tell. I bet you Dexter has committed 100 crimes and not, I mean, I'm probably
got charges
people's asses, assaults. Yeah. He's probably stolen things, broken into cars, and just never gotten caught. And well, the cops know this.
They've got an undercover tactical team watching him. This is not regular beat cops. He's sitting there saying that the police are a gang because they're out there with their hoodies. What you're talking about is undercover police officers who are watching him. He left the house. I'm going to go for a drive, mama. He's out there doing something just like these undercover cops are. You know, we're not going to be so naive to think that when the cops go out and have a hood up, that they're out there being a criminal gang, but he's out there just driving around, you know, being, you know, as discreet, you know, just driving around, but he's not up to anything. This guy was already on their radar. Case in point, they probably knew that he had a firearm, which is why they reacted this way. They know he's not supposed to have one because he's a felon. He's completely known to them. If they're being, if this is a proactive police squad and they know that he's in the neighborhood, they're watching for him.
Yeah. And here's the other thing too, right? A confidential informant might have came to them and told them that they've sold that guy a gun or, you know, there's so many avenues, but I will guarantee this. They didn't just say, hey, black guy with a seatbelt off, get him. It didn't play out that way. And Joe, I am not picking on you. I promise. You're one of my favorites in the chats, Joe, every week. Love you, Joe Russo. There's not a hate on you. I'm more mad and angry at the media. By the way, the same media that still hasn't put out that the 15-year-old girl that was gunned down by police wasn't shooting at the police actively, and that they still haven't released the dash cam of her allegedly shooting into the police vehicle. Again, if she didn't shoot in, then release the dash cam footage and show us that she didn't do it. Or, you know, but the reason why they're not showing it to you is because we could probably assume that she did. Listen, if she didn't, I'll be the first one to come out and say, I assumed wrongly. But in this case, you know, they're not showing you the real picture of Dexter Reed. They're not telling you he's a felon. They're not telling you the whole independent journalist story of why they did that. A good investigative journalist would say, hey, this tag team, as Chi-Town puts it, this district tag team, each one has a district tactical team. And these guys go after violent felonies. And they probably had a write-up on this character. You know, that's what a good independent journalist would do. It's done, right? Independent journalism is gone. It doesn't exist. When you see independent journalists, it's mainstream media propaganda is what you see, propagandist. So, anyway, that's our breakdown for today. Here's what I want you to take away from this really fast. This is a really important point. You guys stop sharing these videos with me in panic. You know, the reason why we cover this, we had a different story to cover today, but we had to shovel this because everybody's in panic. This is the next George Floyd. This isn't that kind of rhetoric, that hyperbolic sense of panic. That's all it is. It's hyperbolic. Like it's escalatory. It's the media has to have this. They need it. They yearn for it. Yearn for it.
They're yearning.
So don't share it. Don't like share it. Like instead, maybe reach out and ask me about it. You guys know me, right? Like I'm really big in the chats and the comments. I spend hours a day responding to every single comment, answering so many cop related questions, having little arguments with folks that I enjoy doing. There's no malice or hate. So when you end that argument and fuck you, you're a bootlicker. I never say anything negative towards you. I'm just providing an argument. You're the one that's getting mad at my argument. And I don't know why you have to be angry about it. I'm not angry at you. But we can have these arguments. And then what you need to do as civilians, as police officers, law enforcement, is to share the truth. Like, hey, just share that picture of Dexter Reed as a felon. Hey, guys, Dexter Reed was 26 years old, and he's a convicted felon. You know what I mean?
Like, Mama, you need to eat something. Sorry.
All right. Before we close out of here, we've got a bunch of super chats coming in. Let me write them all down. And this is again for me rolling nonstop to raise money for We Defy Foundation to get wounded veterans and disabled veterans on the mats training, get them back in the fight. So we got Mur530, one Nijkin. Is that $65 American?
$65 American. Yeah, he laid down 695 Swedish kroners that I had to convert on the fly.
Nice work.
$65 from outside this country to help Americans. We got more help coming in from outside than we do from the inside.
Well, that's because World War III is happening. Nijkin wants to make sure he's on the right side. He wants to make sure that I get Save Our Allies to come get him out.
Eric, when, you have to personally parachute into Sweden to make sure that you rescue that guy.
Yeah, hey. I will make sure that Tim Kennedy, I will get up with Nick Palmisano and Tim Kennedy and say, like, listen, boys, I got a guy. Is he American diplomat? No. Is he American? No, not at all. Not even close. But we still got to get him out. And they're going
to
be like,
you went to give me $65. You were a paratrooper, weren't you, Eric?
I was, yeah.
So you jumped out of planes and stuff, huh?
I did. Yeah, many times.
What's it feel like to go over to the door and be like, I'm jumping out now, I guess?
Well, you know, in jump school, that's the big fear in jump school, right? Is am I going to panic, right? And they talk a lot about panicking. And then, you know, you'll get, if you get on that plane and you have your parachute on, once you're on that plane, you have to jump out of it. And if you don't, you get like court-martialed and arrested. And
court-martialed?
I mean, that's what they say, right? Because you're...
Oh, fuck.
You know, and it's a time of war. So you're like, I don't, they play it up. It's not real. They, of course, they're not going to do that for you, but they try to scare you into making sure that you jump.
Couldn't you do what they do in the movie? You say court martial. I demand court martial. And then they're all like, well, we weren't really going to court martial
you. Yeah. You're like, no, I really want it. So when you're on the, so they talk about it so much that you're like, well, damn, am I afraid of jumping out of this airplane? Like now I feel like I should be afraid because you guys keep telling me that I better not be afraid. But I remember getting on my first jump and I was probably 10 people back, maybe more. And you shuffle towards the door and it's like spitting out of your window at like 60 miles an hour. You know how that loogie's just like, phew. Yep. So what you're doing is you kind of see down this line, you just see people like thunk, thunk, thunk being sucked out this door. And you're like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. And then when you get there, you're just like, holy shit. It's like, wow, it's super loud and everything's vicious and chaotic. And then pow, as the parachute pops open and then it's ultra silent, dude. And it is, your heart is pounding through your chest and you want to scream. You want to have like an adrenaline dump and you want to be like, yeah, woo, but you can't because you're tactically jumping out of airplane with your face paint and you're, you know, that will fail you. You know, so you have to be quiet and then you have to prepare for your landing. And, you know, there's a lot of shit going through your brain. And then when you get out of jump school and you go to a unit, and I was in a special operations unit, that's when it sucks, right? Because now you're jumping with your unit and it's not always by the book. So sometimes you're doing JMPI like in the woods. What JMPI means like you're doing like all your pre-jump inspections and your practices and all these other things with your jump masters. And you're doing this in the woods, like on operation. So like you got dudes pulling security, another dude like on his knees with a poncho over the both of you and a little headlamp on so that the enemy can't see you, checking to make sure your parachute's all good and everything. And then you're walking out of the woods, running onto the back of this very small plane. You've got so much equipment and gear, you can barely fit on the plane. And then when you jump out of the plane, it's such a small little casa that the pack trays are spinning in front of you and you have to time when the pack tray is in front of you so that you can jump so you don't get wrapped up in your buddy's pack tray. And it's super chaos. So jumping is always, I hated it. But you know what? I would rather parachute than fast rope. So there's that. But
when I was in the police academy, and this is bizarre, but they literally taught us how to land with a parachute. I guess there's a correct way to land.
Yeah, PLF, parachute landing fall. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they were teaching that us in the police academy, but my mom fought in the Gulf War. She wasn't a paratrooper, but she had some interesting stories.
Well, your mom wasn't shit because if you aren't airborne, you aren't shit.
Well,
I'm just kidding. That's just what they said.
Iraq doesn't have an airborne.
I'm just kidding.
So she was actually she was Republican Guard. So
that's the joke. All
as it turns out, you can't use that to get a discount at Denny's. And if they ever find out, I'm gonna have to pay a lot of money back. No, I'm just joking. My mom did not fight for Saddam Hussein. Iraq is such a fucked up country that they don't let women talk or drive or do things there. She was never allowed to fight for Saddam Hussein, and it's a shame that she never got to live out her dream.
California I or CAI, CIA, I don't know, says, show us the father. They want to see Dexter's dad.
Oh, yeah. Where's he at? That's a damn good question. Where's he at? Why did we get to the end of the show and we didn't even like think about where his pops was at? That's a damn good question.
I wasn't really a stud, Chaitan. I was more of a pussy. Listen, I would bitch and moan every time we had to do an airborne infiltration. I was like, I'm always like, dude, I'd rather walk 30 miles than have to jump out of an airplane. But You know, I jumped out of a lot of helicopters. One time I jumped out of a helicopter way too early, landed in the trees, and they had to, like, the whole team had to come and find me. And it was like super embarrassing. And I've got more embarrassing stories about being a paratrooper than I have fun stories. One time I slammed into this embankment. I jumped out over a highway one time, and like at 3 o'clock in the morning, and these cars were like, I could see like cars coming down with their lights. And so I was like, just at full crank. I almost had silk in my hand trying to get to one side of the road or the other. And I ended up slamming into this ditch and my chin trap exploded. And like the 240 Bravo machine gun, like just about crushed all of my ribs, but it was funny. Davey says it's Chansey saying he wouldn't rather be, I would not rather be a leg. I listen, I'm not a fucking, no, I was a paratrooper and I would do paratrooper shit all the time. As long as I would, but I wouldn't, no, I don't ever want to be a leg. Legs are dirty. They're nasty. They're gross. And, you know, they couldn't make it as airborne. So I don't want to be a leg. I'd rather deal with all the gay airborne bullshit than be a leg. All right. Let me get through this really quick. Will Cray, $20. Mer 530, $20. Naishkin, $65. So that, just make sure my math is correct here. If we're doing 1 minute for every $20, so far we're up to 105. Four. What?
$104. How many minutes is it per dollar?
I'll go 1 minute for every $20. Okay. So two people. So Nijkin basically did three.
Zero.
And then Murr and Wilcray did five. So I'm at 5 minutes of rolling. Just to let you guys know, I have gone 35 minutes of sparring, but with breaks. But I've done 35 minutes in a day. So for this though, There's not going to be any, there's not going to be any, like, there'll be a 1 minute, there won't be any break.
How much,
you know, of course I need like a 1 minute
before
to like,
or after.
What?
What's how that? Much, how much do I have to pay for you not to have any water before or after?
I think I'll just do water on the mat. Like someone will have to just come and squirt water in my mouth. Like after I get choked out. Cause I mean, obviously I'm going to get choked out a bunch, especially being that tired and having fresh guys. Like I'm probably going to get pretty much choked out every 60 seconds or armbar
with a bunch of freshmen.
It's going to be fucking heinous. Right now we're at 5 minutes. Like I think this is ends like May 27th, I think is when the We Defy thing is. So, hey, how do I sign up to be the guy Skate Daddy wrestles? Yeah, if you want to do that, it's going to be a Gracie Raleigh. I'll get the official date. I think it was May 27th. I can look it up right now for you. But you can come by. It's $20 at the door to roll. And yeah, it's open mat, so you can roll with me and anybody that you want to. So yeah, if you want to roll with me, come to Gracie Raleigh. I'm getting you the date right this second. Hold on.
Gracie Raleigh is the name of the gym, right?
Gracie, yeah, like Hoist Gracie.
Okay. I'm going to throw that text up on the screen so that you can see the address, so you know exactly where. People are saying, like, when and where, man. Here you go. Now here's the where, and Eric's going to tell you when, and you can go out and fight Eric Tansey, a dream that we have all had since we were never first.
Everybody's fantasized about it. Yep, sign the waiver, and good luck.
Sign the waiver and you get to fight a paratrooper. You get to fight for old Saddam, get a little revenge.
Fuck the troops, right? I'm having a hard time. They posted it yesterday.
It's coming up. We'll keep talking about it. If you're serious about wanting to roll with it, you know, we could possibly make a thing out of that. So
yeah. Let's see here. Well, oh goodness gracious! Here we go. Let's see. Maybe they put it in their storyboard here.
Chaitan, okay. Are you in Chicago? Are you willing to drive all the way out to Raleigh, North Carolina, to fight Eric Tansey? Because that would be amazing.
Oh, here we go. May 27th from 12 to 2. Yeah, and you got to be like a jiu-jitsu practitioner. You got to have a colored belt to come in there. Like you can't just like come off the street. I mean, maybe you can. I guess. I don't think you can get
a belt between now and then, right? Like, go down to your local gym today. Sign up for a belt. They'll give you a belt that you could go down to Gracie and you could roll around with Eric Tansey.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure we could probably make it happen. If you came all the way from Chicago, there's no way I would not roll.
Yeah, he'll roll around with you in the alley behind the gym if you drive all the way from Chicago. So,
It's $20 to get in. All that money goes to Weedify Foundation. So for those of you guys who did just throw down $20, that's awesome. It's you can follow Weedify on Instagram and just see what they're doing for veterans, man, all across the country. It's incredible, dude. It is so cool. It's by far the coolest veterans program that I've gotten to be a part of. I got the Weedify scholarship in December, and I've been training now since December 1st, and just absolutely love it. And I love the community. They are preventing soldiers from doing stupid shit. And that is, I mean, they're not just talking about it. It's not like doing 22 pushups a day or wearing the t-shirt or the armband. I mean, I've lost 21 pounds now in 4 months. And my whole, everything about me has kind of changed. So big shout out to Weedify Foundation and to everybody giving the $20.
Eric, is it only for U.S. veterans? Because my mom not only went through all the same shit that you went through, but she also lost the Gulf War, which is really tough. And Iraq does not have a big mental health care apparatus. I don't know if it works.
Right. Well, we can have her apply, see if it works. Danny says, how much to get you to do no gi with no rash guard and only yellow Hulk Hogan Speedos? You know what? If they hit $1,000, like if I raised $1,000 for this, I will do it in a yellow Hulk Hogan Speedo. 100%. If you guys actually, you know what? I'll even go one better. Yeah, I think 1,000's fair since we have till the 27th. We're already up to just over 100. So if we get over 100 on 10 different shows, then you know that's $1,000 pretty easy. So yeah, if you guys want to see me roll in a yellow, that would be so embarrassing because there'll be a lot of fucking people there and nobody's gonna know who I am really.
Yeah, you're not a big deal. You're just some weirdo who's
right. They're gonna be like, so this guy is rolling with all of us for.
And then when you go out there, you tell them you're doing it for all the veterans, not just American, but Iraq. Wait,
what's
1,000
divided by 20? Real fast.
That's like 500 or something. There's no way to know. 50 seems right. 50? Yeah, I think it's 50. 500? There's no way to know. I'm bad at this.
I'm gonna do the math really quick. If there's $1,000, does that mean I roll for 50 minutes?
Why can't anyone figure this out? It seems you just cancel out all the zeros, don't you? I'll just use an actual calculator app because my third grade teacher would be so ashamed of me. Yeah, it's 500 minutes that you have to do this or something. But then it's 500, and then it's how many dollars per minute? And then you divide it by 5 again, right? Because it's
yeah.
So yeah, it's like you it's over
50. He says it's 50. It's 50 minutes. It's,
yeah, over 100 hours you have to be out there rolling around for days.
50 minutes will be so hard.
You can do it.
I have to really pace myself. But here's the thing too, is when I start rolling, there are some people that I'm like, I just don't want this guy to choke me, but I'm going to have to let them at some point because if I can't finish them, I can't burn all my energy on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to pick your targets. You know, I would take out Will Cray first, and then after that, well, I just would.
That would be a lot. Yeah. So, all right. Well, there you guys go. Raise $1,000, and I'll be rolling for I guess 50 minutes or whatever. But we're pretty close. We're over 100.
Yeah, you're already a tenth of the way there.
Yeah,
that's not good. You're gonna get your ass kicked.
Oh, for sure. But I can train till May 27th. So,
yeah. All right, you better get loosened up. Better do some cocaine. Better do some Gatorade, Eric.
It'll be some steroids for sure. I'm just kidding. All right, guys. Hey, it's a fun breakdown. Thank you, John, for helping me out. For everybody else, guns up and giddy up. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating and review. Go over to Anti-Hero Podcast. Give them a 5-star rating and review. Let's get climbing back up on the charts. We're crushing right now.
Leave a comment.
Need every 5-star. So Chi-Town, 8072, go to Apple Podcast right now. Nate, go to Apple Podcast right now. Give us a 5-star rating and review if you would. And then hit subscribe to our YouTube channel and let's do this. And Chi-Town, if you're law enforcement in Chinatown and Chicago, let me know, man. Let me get you on the show. All right. Guns up, giddy up. See you on the next one.
Bye.